He said it so gently. He didn't yell at her and rebuke her. He knew that she did it so sacrificially. And I tell you, when you serve the Lord sacrificially, even if the Lord corrects you for a wrong attitude, he'll correct you gently. Martha, Martha, I can imagine the tone of voice with which Jesus spoke. Martha, Martha, you are concerned and bothered about so many things. But let me tell you something. You probably never understood this with the Old Testament message that Moses brought and that you heard in the synagogue all these 30 years of your life. But I'm telling you something which is more important in the New Covenant. And that is what Mary has chosen. She got a revelation of what is more important. You know, any woman in a house, the immediate reaction when guests come is to provide something, especially if Jesus came. You think if Jesus came into your house all of a sudden, what would you do? You'd immediately go get him a glass of water or get him some food to eat because they come after a long journey. And so it was a good attitude Martha had to serve, and Mary also would have felt like that. But why in the world did she not do it? I think she was so gripped by the words she had heard from Jesus in previous occasions in the marketplace or here and there. She said, I want to hear that. Those few times that I've heard my Lord speak to me have so changed my life that I want to hear more. She wanted her life to be changed. And she knew in the long run, and she would become a better person for the glory of God. And she knew what Jesus longed for with his people. It's a wonderful thing. It's not just listening to his word, but fellowship. Fellowship. It's not good for Adam to be alone. What did he give him? Fellowship. What is the thing missing in many homes? Fellowship. What did Jesus want here? Fellowship. And Mary understood that. And she sat and listen to Jesus. And that's the word the Lord spoke to me 61 years ago. And I'm very, very thankful that through the years he's helped me to that. It was my daily habit in those days to begin my day with the word of God and to read it based on this verse. One thing is needful, verse 42. The first book that I ever wrote, many years before CFC started in 1970, was a series of messages I gave to students. And the first message was, one thing is needful. The first book is The Supreme Priorities. That's the first book I wrote. And the first chapter of that, the first of the four things mentioned there is, this one thing is needful. Supreme priorities. Number one, sit at the Lord's feet and hear his word. Because the Holy Spirit has come, it's possible for us to do that even today. And that's the thing that helped me when I was a young man. I said, Lord, I was 7 years in the Navy before I left my job. And all those 7 years I spent studying the word of God. And by the end of those 7 years, I really knew the scriptures well because it was what I read and meditated and studied every day in all my spare time. I did my secular work. No commanding officer had any complaint about my work. I would do that faithfully. But my priority was God's word. And that saved me from so many temptations between the ages of 19 and 26. Years when young people can easily be tempted, and God kept me from all types of things because every spare moment was spent studying the word. And I would say that to all of you young people. Spend your spare time studying the word. And because God urged me to have that foundation at that time, I believe that's become the basis of my ministry today, that I know the scriptures. And when the Lord wants to speak to me from one scripture or another, he reminds me of things that I have read. I believe that Jesus, what Jesus did in the first 30 years of his life, you know, very often I have felt that Jesus, when I spoke of the first 30 years of Jesus' life, I always speak about, yeah, he obeyed his parents, and he worked as a carpenter, earned his living, all those good things. But one thing I forgot to mention, those 30 years, every day, he spent listening to his father. That continued always. And that is how he knew what to do. He knew when to step out of the ministry, and step out of his home, rather, into the ministry. And it's because I had this habit myself that I also knew one day when the Lord spoke to me to step out of my job into his ministry. I want to say to all of you, even if God never calls you to full-time work, one thing is needful for every single believer. Let's look at that verse, Luke 10:42, and see what Jesus says here. Mary has chosen the best part. You know that saying, the good is the enemy of the best. The best is always better than the good. To serve the Lord and his people, like Martha did, good. But the best, to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word, which will look as if you're not doing anything. But in the long run, I tell you in Jesus' name, you will accomplish a lot more than if you just run around helter-skelter in activity. It's one of the things I discovered as the Lord planted churches. I've never planted a church, one single church in my life. God planted them all, and I just went around to water the plant that he had planted. That's all I've done in every place. But I've discovered one thing, you know, when I was a young man, I thankfully discovered it in my early 30s. I said, Lord, I don't want to waste my life and come to the end of my life and discovered that I did a lot of good things for the Lord, but not his plan. I want to fulfill your plan. You know, like when you get appointed in an office, supposing you get a new job, many of you got jobs, and you reported for work on the first day. What did you do? Did you go and start working, go and sit at some table and start doing something for that office? They'd have thrown you out immediately. The first thing you did was go to the boss and say, sir, what am I supposed to do? And he gives you a job description. And it doesn't matter if there are 10,000 needs in that office. You fulfill your job description. That's what you get paid for. We all know that in our secular job. And even if you're not in full-time Christian work, every child of God is a servant of the Lord. You have a task in the body. This is the difference. In the old covenant, it was one high priest and some priests and some prophets and kings. They had a ministry from the Lord. In the New Testament, it's a body. Somebody like me, maybe the tongue, there may be a number of tongues in the body, but some are hands and some are hidden ministries of prayer, like the liver and the kidney and different internal organs and the nerves and veins and all, which supply blood. Those are people who pray and do a lot of things in secret who are never seen. So everybody has a ministry in the body of Christ, but every member of this body has a connection with the head, and that is what Mary's part is, to have a connection with the head where you're listening to what the head is saying. We don't realize it, but every part of our body from the day you were born was constantly listening to the brain. What am I supposed to do? For a baby, it is crying for milk. That's the brain prompting it. You're hungry, cry out. From that time onwards, we don't realize it. It's all unconscious now, but we are doing what our brain is prompting us to do. When a mosquito comes and sits on a hand, the brain prompts you to take it off. And we're doing all this unconsciously, but the parts of our body are listening to the brain. That's the meaning of Luke 10:42. One thing is needful. Sit and listen, and you'll accomplish a lot more that way